Okay.
So the few people that have seen it, they're like, what is that? Are you Prince? Like, I look like Prince. Like, the way I was dressed, I'm like, no, I'm a hockey player. Like, I'm
check.
Awesome.
Check.
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 Check. Check.
Check. Welcome to the show. This is Between Two Beards podcast. I'm your host, Brock.
And I'm your other host, Mike.
And we are the beards that you are between.
I like that.
We have a really fun episode today with Bill and Tracy Knorr. But before we get started, just wanted to share a few things that are going on, especially with this podcast. We added a producer to kind of help keep Brock and I in check. His name is Diego Taylor, and I'm just going to have him introduce himself and say a few things. As we do not give him any opportunity to talk during the episodes, we just ridicule him, and he can't do anything because he doesn't have a microphone. So this is his chance with a microphone. Go ahead, Diego.
Hi. Like Mike said, I'm Diego Taylor, son of Jen and Chad Taylor. Mike and Brock decided to get an unpaid intern that they could bully for the recording of the podcasts. So that's what I'm here for. My job was to record and edit the podcast, make it so that everyone could be able to be heard, and as well as just cutting out any points of too much silence or awkwardness when Mike is busy laughing up the place. I go to Luzerne County Community College. I'm 19 right now as the recording of this is being taken. And when I'm not working, I spend a lot of my time making music, recording music, editing it, just really anything with it, and I DJ on the side. So it's finally nice to be given the opportunity to use the gifts that God has given me with audio and sound engineering to give glory to Him. So this was really fun to record with them, even though I did not get much to say. And got ridiculed for my being late one time and my food obsession while we record. So it has been a real pleasure.
Thank you. Yes, we have really loved having Diego with us. We've already recorded a few episodes. We started recording a few months ago, and they will be rolling out here, starting with the Norris. And before we do get started with them, we have just want to take the opportunity to highlight a couple ministries that we have going on. If you're not plugged in with any kind of like a men or women's Bible study, you might want to consider getting plugged in. We have women's Bible study for the first and third Mondays at 7 p.m. And we have a men's Bible study the first and third Tuesdays at 7 p.m. We also have an adult Bible study, and that is every single Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. Home groups are starting. They're going to be going to start here in May. So if you are not connected with the home group and would love to be, we have some very new groups that are starting. You just go to the website and you can check out those groups and feel free to sign up for one. All right. Well, without further ado, let's hear what the Norris have to say. And welcome back to Between the Beards.
Oh, my word.
Between Two Beards. That's how long it's been. Yeah,
it's been too long. Way too long.
Right out of the gate, I got the show wrong. You got so mad at me last week when I got it wrong, too.
Oh, man.
Yeah, just talking about it. Well, we are back and better than ever. And I am Mike. And the other manly voice you hear is
Brock.
We have our special guest today. We have Bill and Tracy, the Knorr family.
Yes.
Coming to you from the B2B studios at BCC.
Yep.
Nice.
Bringing them on, the first take of the new year and the new season.
Yeah. You guys said we were, what, first ones of season two?
That's so, right.
Yeah.
That's right. First one.
So this has to be good.
The hot seat.
Actually, you know what? Let's bring the bar down real low, okay?
Oh, you have. Bringing us on, trust me.
That's how
but
we
yeah,
do.
Thanks for having us. It's,
thank you.
Yeah.
So what we like to do is we basically start out with a little, tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, Bill, if you want to start first, and Tracy, or Tracy, if you want to start first, how you want to do it, but just give us a little of, you know, where you came from, like where you were born, grew up.
Yeah, sure. Like the Cliff Notes version, I grew up in Berwick, PA. I did not grow up going to church. Just something my family didn't do, you know. So the first time I was actually at church was because of Tracy invited me to church, so I guess we'll get into that later. But
all right.
So I have two brothers. I grew up in Berwick and graduated from Berwick High School. And
what year?
Oh man, 85.
85.
Yeah,
so that was
yeah.
Before Ron Paulus?
Oh yeah, like way before Ron. Like leather helmets and stuff.
Wow.
You know, way back
wow,
in the day.
Wow.
So,
yeah, that guy.
But George Curry was still there, right?
Oh yeah, George was my coach, yeah.
You played football?
Yeah. That's just assumed when you're a boy and you're from Berwick, you know. So
I understand.
Yeah, so go ahead, Trace, I guess.
That's all?
Yeah.
That's all you got.
I mean, just for now.
Okay. For now.
For now, okay. Quick overview. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Let's see. I am from Bloomsburg. Ooh. I'm from Bloomsburg. And BCC is the church that I grew up in. So I've been around a long time.
Oh, yeah.
I have one sister, and John and Pat Stryker are my parents.
Who also go here,
yeah.
Yeah, they're like celebrities here.
John is my stepdad, but really is one of the reasons why I am who I am today, because of him.
Nice.
So,
yeah.
So you went to, did you graduate from Bloomsburg High School?
I did.
Okay.
In 84.
In 84.
Yeah.
Wow. The 80s.
So 84, 85. Is that what I heard?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. She took advantage of a younger guy, you know.
Listen, I took that same route.
You
know,
did.
And it worked out pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. And you also graduated from Bloom U. So.
Yes, in 89. So I'm a first grade teacher in Berwick. And
you stayed in Berwick then for
while
you went. Do you guys live in Berwick?
We do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, right outside of Berwick. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Nice. Did you go to college, Bill?
Well, yeah. To make a long story short, I went to Westchester, but I didn't finish.
That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So, and then.
So you guys knew each other in high school?
No.
We didn't know each other.
Okay.
No. So if I could get into that a little
let's
bit.
Let's do it. Yeah, let's dive right in.
You might want to. We met in a bar.
I met my wife at a bar.
Disclaimer. Huh? This disclaimer is for my mom.
Sure.
Sure.
We both were not drinking.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
Well, that was unusual, unfortunately, for me at that time. Because like I said, I was never at church before. You know what
right.
I mean? And it was a period where, like, I was working for a contractor, right, up at the nuke plant. So they're called Bartlett. Bartlett has contracts at every nuclear power plant around the country. Well, they used to anyway.
Yeah.
So I was like on a second shift. So I would be at Hess's or Lemons. You guys don't remember Lemons Bar, mm-hmm. do you? There's no way.
Hess is like downtown Bloom.
Yeah. And then Lemons was like, whoops, I hit the microphone.
Oh.
Was like in the back, like in the alleyway.
Oh.
So me and my friends, we would be there like at midnight with a beer in our hand by midnight. Like, I hate to say that, but that was me back then.
Sure.
So anyway,
the BC
that's
days.
That's where we met.
It was the '80s, brother.
Yeah. So, and she's right. The night we met, I think I was actually drinking soda. So we were totally, you know, I think it was God's plan. Like, we met and we've been together ever since that night we met. Like,
so were you guys in college age years?
Yeah.
This is after
college.
I just graduated from college,
okay.
And I worked at Hotel McGee, which is
right down the street.
Yeah, now like apartments, but
did you work for Norman Mail?
I did.
Nice. So did I. Once upon a time.
Oh yeah.
I met him. Yeah, at Lemons. So I had worked 16 hours at Hotel McGee, and my friends drugged me out. I did not want to go. I didn't have a car. I walked because my mom lived up by the hospital. So I'm standing there waiting for my friends to get done slow dancing, and he asked me to dance, and I looked behind me like, you're talking to me? So
Hold on a second. So, I can't believe that the first words, Bill, out of your mouth when you see her is, would you like to dance? You don't trick me as a dancer.
I don't even remember that.
What was it, that soda?
I don't remember that.
So,
confidence. Yeah, confidence was in that soda.
Are you a dancer?
No.
Okay.
No, but I don't remember
so
that.
So while we were slow dancing, my friends left me. So I did not want to walk home because I had worked so long and up the hill. So I asked.
Your friends left you dancing with a complete stranger at a bar.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I could ask that complete stranger for a ride home.
Wow.
So this is what sealed the deal. My 83 Camaro.
Ooh. Okay. Tell us more.
Yeah, yeah. Once she saw that, she's probably like, that's the guy I'm going to marry. So.
Little did he know, he was dropping me off at my mom's house. Mm. And I gave him a kiss goodbye, and I gave him my phone number, and he called me the next weekend, and I had to turn him down because I was busy. And so we went out the next weekend, and here to find out, he was working on with my dad. Were you with my dad? Or
yeah, her dad worked for PPL.
Okay.
And again, I was a contractor. I didn't work for PPL. He did. So I remember being up there. It was like on a fuel floor. Like it's the top floor, the fuel floor. And I was telling them, the guys, about, you know, hey, I met this girl and stuff and like that. And I said her name, and I hear this, what'd you say?
Oh, this is fantastic.
Right?
I love all of this.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And so I repeat it, and he goes, you know, that's my daughter. Right? And he was a big shot up there, and I was just worked for a contractor, so he could have just, you know, pulled this guy's clearance, like, now, you know what I mean?
That's so good.
Yeah,
oh, that's great.
Yeah, because her parents were separated, you know what I mean? So I didn't meet him till,
to his defense, he was the first guy that my dad ever called by name. The other people that I so-called dated were jabonis.
Oh, so, yeah, yeah. Okay. So,
nice. So Bill got called Bill. So
yeah, he didn't pull my security clearance or nothing. So.
And then after we started dating, we found out that our grandmothers were friends when they grew up because they were both from Berwick.
The Italians at the West End of Berwick, you know.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Is that friends or mafia? We don't say. Got it.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
But that's how it started from Lemons, you know. So, and then.
So, hold on a second. So, it was a dance.
Yes.
An 83 Camaro.
Yes.
Drive home. Did you hear? I gave him a kiss and my number.
Yeah.
I'm waiting dance. For the part where Bill's holding a boombox outside the window.
I did have those MC Hammer pants and stuff.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That.
Zebra.
Yeah, yeah, the zebras. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like, you know what was funny? That reminds me, like, she had a place in Danville, then an apartment, and it was the first time I went over, and I was such a knucklehead. Like, I have no fashion sense. Like, I wore a cut-off Mickey Mouse T-shirt.
That's what he had on when I met him.
That's amazing.
Like,
you painted such a great picture.
You're an icon.
I love
you're
it.
An
you
80s
are.
Icon.
You
right
are.
Now.
You are exactly what I pictured. I pictured the 80s.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy? Like, that's awesome. The Converse canvas sneakers, yeah, you know, and a cut-off Mickey Mouse T-shirt. So, I don't know if that wasn't her chance to run for the hills. Like,
no.
Yeah.
I don't
actually
know what.
Before we danced, I said to my friends, I like that guy right there. I think I might marry him.
What?
But,
yeah,
but I never approached him. I just stood there.
Yeah,
so.
But you remember she worked 16 hours that day, so I think she was a little delusional.
Delusional had
set
in.
Yeah.
I understand
yeah,
that.
Yeah. So her judgment wasn't. No. So, yeah, and then, like I said, and then I would make matters worse because, like I said, I work for Bartlett, the contractor, so I decided to go to California because there was an outage out there. So I was going to be out there for 3 months.
Four
months, okay.
But who's counting?
So, and I was like, you know, if our relationship is meant to be, you know, it'll survive this 3 or 4 months, whatever, you know, because I was so naive, right? And she's, like, kind of devastated, I think. So I go out to Diablo. Do you know where Diablo Canyon is, by any chance? You ever been to San Luis Obispo? They call it Slow Town? Because you're from Cali, right?
Well, I lived in... I'm not. I'm from this area. I lived in Los Angeles for 3 years.
Oh, it's two hours north of L.A.
Okay.
On the coast.
Oh, up like Pacific Coast Highway?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, anyway, just threw that in. Like, obviously, our relationship survived that.
You made it.
Yeah.
How long into the dating... or the courting? Is that how they said it back then?
I don't know. Yeah, back then.
how long into that... Everybody's now mad at me that's listening to this. How long into that were English grammar?
Yeah, yeah.
Were you guys into your relationship when you went out to Diablo?
Well, I don't remember. But
okay, go ahead.
So
fine.
I remember calling her because, you know, back then, for the kids that are listening, we actually had to use a payphone. You know, so
wait, explain what that is.
Yeah, like put money in a machine and call back home. So I called back east once in a while, and then I told her, I go, hey, I'm going to Calvert Cliffs next in Maryland, right?
Mm.
So, and that was a chance to be there for a while, like a couple years.
Okay.
So that's, make a long story short, we ended up getting married, and you were teaching up here, right? Were you daycare?
I don't remember. Yeah, daycare, I think.
So anyway,
something like that.
Okay, so I guess I got to back up a little bit. She's the first one that invited me to church.
Okay.
So, and it was Bloomsburg. Well, back then it was First Church of Christ, West and 4th Street, which became this church.
Right.
So obviously I went a few times because she asked me to go. And then I started going because I wanted to go, you know, like that switch was being like turned on, you know, that seed was planted. So then I'm like, man, I really like going to your church, you know. And then we became friends with Bob Hart. He was the youth minister then. If you've ever met Bob, I think they live around the Williamsport area now. And Pastor David Smith and Eric Miller was going there. Eric and Tammy were attending there, and Keith Eichler and Kristen Eichler. So we had a group of friends there, you know, and we became good friends with the youth pastor and Bob and Sarah Hart. And it was home to me. It really was. And I just turned on the switch, and I got baptized. I got baptized, was it 91? I think I got baptized.
Right before we got married.
Yeah, right before we got married. And you know what's funny too? She's like, listen, I don't know where this is going, but if we keep dating, you know, she's like, I'm not going to date if you don't go to church, you know, and that's kind of what got me going.
Yeah.
And like I said, I went because she asked me to, and then later on, I couldn't stop going. I was hooked, you know what I mean? And then it just clicked for me, and then I got baptized in March of 91. Yeah.
What did your family think about you all of a sudden going to church?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I don't know what they really thought of it, you know? They're passed away now.
They weren't big fans of it.
They weren't big
you
fans.
You were, when you were a baby, you were...
Sprinkled.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
you know.
Why would you have to do that?
Yeah.
Because they did have a Catholic background.
Okay.
But...
Mm. Never went, you know, so I didn't.
Right.
So, and did they come to my baptism?
They did.
Did they? Okay, so, yeah. But it was a turning point in my life and stuff, so, yeah. As far as... drinking and partying, it was a turning point in my life.
Sure.
And I've never looked back. Never.
Did your friends find you, like, did you have friends that you had and you saw that they kind of fell away?
I don't know. You remember when you're like that age and then everybody kind of goes their own way anyway?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of like a natural, these kids go to this college or that guy goes into service or whatever, so... So I just had my work friends, and no, it wasn't a big deal to them, no. Huh.
And so now, so you got married in 91 or 92, was that?
91.
91, so I'm going to do a quick math, and you've been married for how many years? Because I can't do math.
Why are you looking at me? What was that, 32?
I don't know. 32 years.
Yeah.
32 years, amen. And how many kids do we have?
We have two boys.
Two boys.
Mm-hmm.
And their ages?
28 and 24.
They are old.
Yeah.
Nice. So, how has not having kids at home for a couple of years now, has that changed? Did your relationship kind of like change from, man, we got these two kids, they're here, they're home, and now they're not? Because you both still work, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that hasn't changed yet. But how has your relationship as parents gone from We don't need to. We just now pray for him and hope that God keeps him safe, right?
Right. Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah,
you know, because you got to kind of relearn every, you know, like, who are you? You know, and she's like, well, I don't know, who are you? You know,
sure.
Because when the dust settles, you know, taking care of them and stuff. But
he finally knows my favorite kind of cake.
Oh,
yeah, it took me
because it was my birthday last week. So he I was like, oh,
yeah. I'm a slow learner.
Well, you're from Berwick. We won't hold it against you.
Yeah. But, like, if I go back to, like when I was first baptized and stuff, like, because we were down in Calvert Cliffs down in Maryland, and I don't know how long we were down there, but we...
Almost 2 years.
But we never got our groove going down there as far as the church. And that was that was on us. You know what I mean? To not find something down there, you know? Yeah. Because obviously there's plenty of churches down there, but we went to some, like, Southern Baptist churches and stuff. But I don't think me and Tracy put in, a good effort down there. Mm-hmm. So we kind of...
We came home a lot, so...
Yeah, we came home on weekends and stuff. So I wouldn't say, like, we backslid, but we weren't gaining anything down there as far as our spiritual. Mm-hmm. So... She finally, one day, she looked at me and said, listen, we need to go home, you know what I mean, to start a family. And it was the right decision, you know what I mean? And then we came back up here again, and we moved, and was it 4th Street, West 4th Street? We were like a block from the
everywhere.
Church. Yeah, we lived a
wow.
We moved a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, like, and that's when we really started to grow, I think, in our relationship with Christ is... Me and her, you know, we had a passion for kids and stuff, and, like, Tracy's a teacher, so we were helping out with the youth group there, and I taught, believe it or not, Sunday school to...
I believe it. You're great with kids.
Yeah, with junior high kids and high school kids.
I mean, like, they're impossible no matter what.
Aren't they? Yeah. So, like, we jumped in, and I think that's, like I said, our biggest growth spurt as far as spirituality, as far as I was concerned, because I didn't grow up in the church, you know. And I've even had some kids say to me, like, man, it was fun back then. And I'm like, I don't know, you were paying attention? Like, I, you know what I mean? Like, because you don't know, and I'm sure you have that too, you know. Like,
sure do.
I don't know, was Tim Carnes, Tim Carnes mm-hmm. was there, you know, and Tim's
oh, wow.
You know, yeah. Tim's over at LCBC doing worship music, and Marty and Deb Bowman's kids, the Bowman boy's name. But anyway, there was a great group of kids that we had and stuff.
And Skip and Sandy's boy, I think.
Oh, yeah, Skip and Sandy's boy.
Steve.
And then there was a Tarlecki boy, Bradley Price.
Was there a Dave Gray?
Oh, Dave Gray. I don't know. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. But, like I said, me and Tracy, we would go to PCTC, right? Yeah. And Impact.
Oh, yeah.
I know they're around the same time. Yeah. And we would volunteer, and we would go there to Harrisburg, anybody that knows anything about that. And it was fun, like, with the kids and stuff. And I don't know if you guys, I don't know if I should name drop things here, but do you know Rod Good by any chance?
I do, yeah.
You know Rod?
Yep.
The first time I went to PCTC or Impact was with Rod, and me and Rod were chaperones, and Rod was, like, pretty strict, like, you know, and which was good, you know what I mean? Because I wasn't.
Because he wasn't, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So we get, I just remember the first time we were checking into desk, and I don't know how many kids were there, and he's like, Rod's like, okay, everybody just stay around me here. I got to check in. So the elevator opens up. Boom, me and all the kids jump in the elevator. We're like, see ya, Rod. And he's like, you know, I could just see steam coming out of his ears. Like, what? You're supposed to be with me, Bill. Like, so it was fun, man. Rod's a great, you know, he was good about it. But, and I remember, like, it might have been, like, in the morning, and the kids come piling into our room, and they're, like, laughing. I'm like, what you guys do, right? And they're like, well, we put hot, okay, Rod's going to find this stuff out now. They're like, we put hot sauce on his toothbrush, right? And I was like, what? So they're all giggling,
oh,
laughing.
Oh, my gosh. I hope my kids are not getting ideas.
So now we're all sitting there just waiting for Rod to come out of the bathroom, right? And Rod comes out, and he's just normal, right? Like, and we're like, so Rod, if you're out there, are you the guy that... do you wash your toothbrush before you brush your teeth? Because they put Dave's Insanity, like, I think they said it was like Dave's Insanity hot sauce on there. And I'm like, you kids got to stop doing that stuff.
Funny.
Like,
that's funny.
Yeah, yeah. So there was Impact, there was PCTC. And
was
then,
this in the 90s? Or?
Yeah, yeah, in the 90s.
Man, I don't want to make you feel old here, but I got to tell you. I was a teenager at the same Impact.
Were you really? I probably saw you running around.
I was very loud and very obnoxious. You definitely were like, oh, thank God, that kid's
probably
not
was
my
dealing the hot sauce.
No, that's true. I was the supplier.
So that's where they got it.
It's where they got it.
That's funny. And I remember the one night there was a band there, because you know they always had bands.
Oh, yeah.
And of course they were Christian bands, but they were like, bands for kids, teenagers. Yep. So they're kind of like punk rockish, kind of Christian bands. And Tracy looked at me the one night. She goes, I got to step out. Like, you know, because it was so loud and kids are like jumping off the speakers. And, you know, I loved it, you know.
Oh,
and
yeah.
She's like, I got a headache.
The only
I'm out.
One I couldn't, audio adrenaline, I just couldn't handle them. They
I loved Audio A.
They were there.
Yeah.
I did.
They were, I was with Bob the one time and you didn't go. We were, I forget where we were, but I said, I am not going in there. Good luck.
We were Newsboys came to Bloomsburg University and sang back in like the late 90s, and we were situated like right in front of the speaker.
Yeah.
And it was awesome, but there was a few people who were like, we can't be here. We're like, I don't understand what you mean. Turn it up.
Yeah, yeah.
We had Carmen on today and then DC Talk, and we were jamming out with
the guys. Yeah. I love that stuff. Yeah. And then we went, I think I mentioned this to you before, because not a lot of people remember CIY.
That's right.
You remember CIY, right?
I sure do.
And I went to CIY, me and Pat, Tracy's mom, chaperones, and we were out near Pittsburgh, like Beaver Campus or something. I know I'm not saying it right, but and that was a whole week with the kids, which was great, because I mean, you guys have been to these things before and you know how they structure them. Like there's some classes that you go to and there's some Bible study time, and then later on we meet as a group, you know, at the end of the day, you know, and we kind of get together and we pray for the kids and stuff, and we just kind of discuss everything that they learned in it. It was great for the whole week, you know what I mean, instead of just a couple nights in Harrisburg, you know. And I tell you what, I loved it there at CIY, and the kids really grew, and I, like I said, I grew a lot too, you know, spiritually, along with the kids. And I was out there with Bob Hart, you know, who used to be the minister there and stuff, so. So we jumped into the kids thing, and we're still doing it today.
You guys help the preschool now, right?
Yeah. Jen.
A little different, right?
Three and 4-year-olds, yep.
Maybe it's the same as junior high. I don't know.
It can be at times, I guess. But just smaller.
Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah, Jen. Yeah, we work with Jen Minnick and
Kim.
Kim. Yeah, Kim's great.
Yeah. She's a preschool whisperer.
She is.
Oh, my gosh.
She really is. She has such a heart for the kids. She's such a great example. And when we... I think Brock might know this. We made a little transition in there between churches, between this church and Emmanuel Bible Church, EBC.
Okay.
And the reason we did that was because when our boys were youth group age, right, we live in Berwick, right, and we did that dance, right, where we're here on Sunday, right, we go home, come back here for youth group, and the boys couldn't drive then, right, so we come back and get them and go back again. We just played that hop and dance, right? So we just made a decision. We're going to go to Emmanuel Bible, which was an awesome church, a great church, right? Mm-hmm. And did you know Pastor Fedoroff, bro?
I did, yeah. I was there. I actually went and was kind of being mentored by Tim for a little bit, too, up there.
Oh, yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, then you know. It was a great place.
Yeah.
So anyway.
3 miles from our house.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Plus, the boys' friends were in the same youth group.
So... it just made sense, right? Because we could easier picking them up and stuff like that. So they did the youth group thing there. And then once they got older, then we kind of transitioned back to here, obviously. But, you know, unfortunately, Pastor Fedoroff passed away. And I still have a letter he wrote me, because there was a group of kids. They were, middle school age, I want to say? that I was teaching Sunday school, right?
Maybe,
and
yeah.
They were hard to wrangle. Like, nobody wanted to deal with these kids. A lot of them were foster kids and stuff, okay. You know? So let's just say they were hard to wrangle. They were hard to deal with. So me and this other kid work with him, and I don't remember his name. Sorry about that. But Pastor Fedorov knew, you know, what I was, you know, dealing with. So he wrote me a letter. He thanked me and stuff. I still have it. I mean, it means a lot to me.
Yeah.
You know, writing a letter out and stuff. Like, you know, I appreciate what you did for those boys. And, you know, yeah, it meant a lot.
Yeah.
You know,
right. Yeah, I definitely miss Scott. You know, even when they transitioned to LCBC, and I would see him, whether it was down at Mannheim or up this way, just always took time.
Yeah.
And even when I wasn't attending, you know, just in passing, definitely miss him. Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Me too. He was a good mentor to Tim Carnes and and obviously with you, Brock, and stuff. So, yeah, yeah. So anyway, I kind of just backtracked a little bit there, you know, just, and then obviously we're back here now. But,
yeah. So, yeah. Bill's mom and dad, we got them actually to go to LCBC, and they were going for a good number of years and before they passed away. So both of them, I believe, are in heaven.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And you know what's fun? Like, I got to backtrack a little bit, the EBC, Emmanuel Bible. Tim was doing the worship music there, and I'm sure, you know, unknowing, we've seen you there probably. My dad loved his music. Like, and it's weird because it's what brought my dad to keep going back to EBC, right?
Yeah.
And they had one of those banquets, you know, to meet the new people, right? So I was like, Mom and Dad, I go, they're having a banquet downstairs, you know, to meet the new people. I go, you guys mind going? They're like, no, of course not. So Pastor Fedorov came up to our table to meet my mom and dad and stuff. My dad's like, he goes, you know, I came here for Tim's music, but I really like your preaching, you know. so it was a good combination.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, my parents later on in life, you know, they got to know the Lord and stuff. So, yeah, it was.
Before his dad passed away, he looked at me, he goes, I'm going to the party. That was one of the last things he said to me.
Nice.
I said, I'll see you there someday.
Amen. Amen. And so where do you fit in the sibling rank of, are you oldest, middle?
Oh, youngest? Man, I'm the oldest, and me and my brothers joke around a lot that I was not the favorite, you know, with Mom and Dad. There was always the other two.
Because
you know,
misbehaved all the time.
Yeah, I did already. We went through that
until he met me.
Yeah, I mean,
boy, yeah. And then it was just guided, like controlled misbehavior. I'm sure.
Yeah. So yeah, we joked around about it that the other two boys were the favorite. So that's okay. I'm all right. Yeah, yeah, it was great. I'm just glad that things worked out with my parents because, like I said, we didn't grow up going to church and God, you know, made a way, right? I mean,
yeah. He does that.
Yeah.
I actually got his dad to go to church. I said, the only thing I want for my birthday is for you to come to church. So.
Wow.
He did.
Wow. And you've been teaching now for how many years?
This is my 29th year, but I've been working with kids for 36 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is a life.
I have 2 more years till I can retire and get full benefits. And, it's less than 500 days.
Oh, well, again, who's counting?
Yeah, she's counting down.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready for a change in my life. Just it has nothing to do with school or the kids. Or I just.
Have you thought about life after teaching? What that looks like? Do you have a kind of a plan or?
spend more time with my mom.
Okay.
Do stuff around the house that I never do.
Well, Bill, don't comment.
That are supposed to be done.
I was going
to
say, you know this is being recorded.
Right. I don't know. I think I'd like to work at Home Depot or Lowe's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Get the discount.
Absolutely.
There you go.
That means I'm going to have projects.
I don't know. But
it's a good question, you know, because we're a few years away from retiring and stuff, and I don't know. it's weird. Like, my youngest son, Jared, like, I don't know if we said our kids' names.
Not yet. I was getting
Okay. So, Jared's the youngest, and he works for Disciple Makers. So, I'm sure people at church here know him and stuff. So, and then my oldest, Jesse, he lives in Mechanicsburg. And with his wife, Annie, and he works for an engineering firm. So,
okay. Yeah, I do want to just take a second, Jared Norrie, if you're listening, you are on our list.
That's right.
Oh, yes. Expect a phone call.
They're coming for you. Check, check.
But I would also like to have a grandbaby sometime soon.
Oh,
yeah. Hint.
Wink, wink.
So I'd like to help out with the baby.
You want to live that grandmom life?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No. I'd like to especially have a girl.
Oh, wow, jeez. We're doing this. Okay.
All right, we better
stop. Do you have any names picked out?
I told her, I said, if you have a baby and you can't take, you know, I'll take it. I'll take care of it. She goes, that's really weird. But she's a sweetheart. We love her.
That's good.
But maybe, like, we have a heart for missions, too. You know, even though we really haven't gone that route yet, you know, so, but some local things we've done with Agape and stuff that, and, you know, through EBC and stuff. Mm-hmm. But maybe when we're retired, maybe we could look into something, because I still have a heart for missions.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, so. my grandmom, she was organizing missions trips into her 80s to, like, Cuba, Haiti. Wow. Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, that was like, her and my grandfather, that was their life. And bus trips, they would do local missions work down in Harrisburg. Hmm. It's never too late, let me tell you.
Yeah,
never too late. You're never too old either.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's always opportunity. Are you looking to retire anytime soon, or you're like, oh.
Well, see, she had a pretty straightforward path, you know, teaching and then retiring. Me, I never did things the easy way, you know what I mean?
Amen.
So I floundered around with, like I said, the Bartlett and running around. I've been to, like I said, this plan up here, Diablo. There's one in New York called Indian Point. Then I was at Calvert Cliffs in Maryland. Then I was at Salem and Hope Creek in Jersey. So I floundered around, and then I finally got, I don't know if you guys remember Donnelly. They made books here. It was by a central school, kind of.
Okay.
That, and there was a printing, because I worked in a printing place. I started in Hazleton at a place called Quebecor. Okay. Mm-hmm. It was a printing plant. They made phone books and stuff. Of course, they went out of business because nobody needs phone books anymore.
I just got a phone book, actually.
Did you really?
I did.
That's funny.
There's a small trust fund somewhere. Money is still coming out of somehow.
I actually said to my wife, do you know what this is?
Our phone book's a funny thing because nobody asks for them. They just deliver them to your house. Like,
that's right.
So, of course, that place, I left there, and then the place here by Central High School was called Donnelly, and they made books there too. So I was there for 15 years or so. So I was almost 20 years, like, between the two places in the printing industry. Wow. So that was the majority of my work life. You know what I mean? Was the printing industry. So that kind of went, you know.
And they shut down. Yeah.
Yeah, they shut down. So.
Yeah, yeah.
So
we were at a good place when they shut down. It was really hard for us.
Yeah, it was a great place to work. It really was. Great people. So I feel like I've been struggling ever since, which is, I don't know why I'm laughing, but, you know.
It's either laugh or cry.
Right. What has that been like? Because, we probably have some people who are going through that or have gone through that. What was that like for you?
Oh, man, it was rough. Like I said, when Donnelly shut down,
and
I remember.
They didn't give a notice, like 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
I think.
Yeah. I don't know. When did I? Because then I started juggling jobs. I worked for my cousin. My cousin had a construction business. Then I was jumping on the UPS truck. You know what I mean? Running around the holidays, helping out the UPS guy. Mm-hmm. And then
then you started with Gino.
Yeah. And then a friend of mine, he has his own business doing gutters and some construction and stuff. So I've been working with him, and then he's like, hey, he goes, I need somebody, because he's huge now, because we're in Hazleton, we're down in Pottsville, mm-hmm. you name it, we're everywhere. We go up to the Poconos. So he's like, I need you to do estimates for me and stuff. So I've been running around doing estimates for him all over the place. So
wow.
But it's been tough. The tough part is like, I don't know if I'll ever be able to retire. You know what I mean? Like the pension at the end of the rainbow or whatever. Yeah, it's not there for me. Yeah. This just didn't work out. But as far as ups and downs, you know, mentally it could be. I think about it sometimes, but I try not to. Try not to dwell on it. Just
I think you have a hard. He has a hard time because he's by himself all day, and obviously you can see he's likes to talk. So
personable guy.
So you know he's a people person, and spending all day in the truck, besides the old ladies that take a hold of him and make him go walk out back.
Yeah, they call me the old lady whisperer because, you know, because they're like telling me everything they want done on their house. And next thing you know, they're hooked like arm in arm, like I'm walking around like a prom date, you know. So it's funny. And they're like, okay, I need this done and this done. And, you know, so I don't know why I use that voice.
The old lady voice. Like,
if we ever need an old lady,
that's right.
Anything we do.
You know, my roof's leaking. And okay, I'll stop now. But like, as far as like advice, I mean, like, this is I hate to say this, but one thing I'm not consistent with, and even after telling you how I dove into the youth group and teaching and stuff, prayer, consistent prayer with me, I'm just gonna get out and say it's a problem. I don't pray consistently, and I don't know. I like you almost have to treat it like some people say. Well, I have a chair, right?
Yeah.
I sit down in this chair, and it's always at night. And I open up the Bible. Me, I'm kind of like all over the place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It could be any time during the day, or I could forget. You know what I mean? So I have a lot to work on.
Listen, we all
you
do.
Know. So
amen.
Yeah.
I think
go ahead, Trish. I've been talking too much.
I think just trusting in God and knowing that he'll take care of our needs with all his job problems. And we never needed anything. We always had what we needed.
True.
We never had to ask anybody for money or so.
So God's always just been faithful, and
yeah,
and you can kind of see that. I mean, you see it, even what the stories that you've shared, even from you going to Hess's with something that you don't normally do, meeting in a dancing guy with a Mickey Mouse cut off shirt. Love at first sight, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know what she was thinking.
Well, to be truthful, I was before I met him. I had just had it with guys. I was just like, and I prayed to God. I said, God, I'd really like to meet somebody, you know, who I have stuff in common. And if you could he have dark hair and blue eyes?
Wow. Oh.
So
and
she
then, are specific.
I don't know. She put in an order, I guess.
And God delivered.
So look, I got good news and bad news. I got good news. I got one for you. Bad news, it's a little bit of a project.
It's a big project. Still working on it. Like, don't you guys, like, remember VBS? They put pictures on the wall of everybody.
Oh, yours was great.
Wasn't mine? I
yours
didn't even
was
know
awesome.
She put mine up.
Oh, and I know. I was there when I saw your face, and you're like, wait a second. It was awesome.
I go, what is my picture doing up on the wall? Like, and Jen's like, well, we're putting pictures up of everybody volunteering for VBS, and we're going to try to guess who it is. And I go, who put that picture up? And Jen started to feel bad, like,
you know how Jen is.
She's like, you want me
oh,
to?
Yeah.
She's like, you want me to take it down? She's like, apologizing. I go, this must have been Tracy's
I
work.
I want you to lean into that.
Yeah.
A little bit more.
No.
So I'm like, I look like, I don't know who all saw it, but I said I look like a motorcycle cop, like from the 80s. Yeah. Like,
it did scream Chips.
Yeah, Chips, like, da, 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 da. Like the stash and the button shirt.
It was
like,
great.
And the shades. Like,
Yeah.
Now just picture that with a cutoff Mickey Mouse t-shirt.
No. I can't stop picturing
it. Yeah, I didn't have a lot of fashion sense. Like, we used to play ice hockey, the neighborhood kids, this time of year, you know, when the ponds used to freeze up, which they might pretty soon here. But I was, my mom, like, we didn't have a ton of money growing up with the with us boys and stuff, you know what I mean? So I always wore my mom's white figure skates to play ice hockey. And I crammed my feet in them, right? And the kids were making fun of me, like, oh, Bill's got white figure skates. So I took black shoe polish and put it on my white figure skates so the next time I had black ice skates, right? So, and then I, we'd always make a bonfire by the pond and stuff. And then I don't even know, I like had long shorts on over my long, I don't even know why I'm saying this.
But. No, go ahead. No, just keep going. Please don't
I'm
ever
just digging
stop.
Myself up. I had shorts on over top of my long johns.
Perfect.
Right?
Yeah.
And I had this like long, like, do you remember those dusters? Like the long coats that went down kind of to your ankles.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Dusters.
Oh, yeah,
they're called
yeah,
dusters.
Yeah.
I don't think it was yours. I think it was your mom's.
Oh, my God.
I hope it was.
So it was like a white, like, it, you might even had like fur on it. So that's how I was like going to ice hockey with the out at the pond. And I actually have a picture of this, which I'm never going to show anybody.
Oh, no.
Matter of fact, I'm going to burn it.
Tracy, you have one mission.
Okay.
So the few people that have seen it, they're like, what is that? Are you Prince? Like, I look like Prince. Like, the way I was dressed, I'm like, no, I'm a hockey player. Like, I'm a hockey player.
I don't think I've laughed more during one of these.
That's what his mom thought he looked like, Prince. But like, you can't tell now, but like, his hair is really, really curly.
Oh.
And if he were to let it grow, it would just like grow up.
It grows towards the sun. It doesn't grow long. Not anymore, but. So, yeah, those were my ice hockey days, you know.
I really want to do, like, a, like, gathering where we get all the people from all the episodes and we go, we want you to do your fashion faux pas of your BC days. Like,
it's going to be awesome. I was bad.
I'm so glad you brought up ice hockey.
Yes, because you're a Pens fan.
This is where Bill and I have problems.
Yeah.
Oh.
We have a very problematic relationship when it comes to ice hockey. Because
you know, that's because of our age, Mike. Because you like the Pens, right? And the Colorado Avalanche were
Here
winning
we
cups when I was probably your age, okay?
Uh-huh.
So,
back so in the
I 60s? Became a Colorado
oh,
Avalanche fan.
Yeah.
And so was Jesse, my son. So you're a Pens fan, right?
I am, because the great one, Mario Lemieux, I don't know if you've heard of him.
yes, I've heard of him.
It's my favorite athlete. Of all the sports, Mario Lemieux was my favorite athlete when I was a kid.
How could it not be Sid the Kid Crosby?
I love Sid. I do love Sid.
Yeah,
I have no problems with Sid. I think he's great. He's a Hall of Famer, and we're going to miss him when he's gone. But we've been blessed to have Mario Lemieux and Sid. But Mario was my guy, and I was brainwashed by my father as well. I mean, he's a Pittsburgh fan on everything, so I'm a Steelers, Pirates, Pens fan, and then I thought you were, I had you pegged as a Flyers fan.
I like the Flyers.
Which
is
not great. But then when you said Colorado, I'm like, I'm sorry, what? What?
yeah. It doesn't add up.
Patrick Roy? What?
Patrick Waugh.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. But it's spelled Roy. So, yeah, when the Avalanche come to the East Coast, sometimes me and Jesse will go see them.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah. So, yeah. So. That was that. I don't know how much I want
to
keep saying.
I don't even know where to go.
I want to go back to Tracy for a moment, because I come from, my mom had all boys, so she really was like rooting for the girls too, and they came in number. Like, only until the last couple of years did the boys start coming back into the picture again. But, so, you know, it'll happen. I'm sure it will.
Yeah, they're still young. I know they're and they're busy and she does. She is Annie is their youth pastor's or no, their pastor's assistant. So she's got and she does the communications. So they go to a church named Vibrant.
Okay. I got the sweatshirt on.
Oh, I was wondering what Vibrant was.
Yeah. So
logo. I thought it was an energy drink or some sort.
No. That's cool. If we put a plug into their church, like if anybody lives in the Mechanicsburg area,
there you go.
Or has any relatives that live in the Mechanicsburg area, and their church is on Lamb's Gap Road, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah,
wow.
It's called Vibrant. It's a great church. Yeah. So
yeah,
that's
it's like LCBC, but it's more Bible based. So.
Okay. Nice.
I would say.
Are they like medium size, bigger, or they? Larger church?
They just added another service, so they have three services on Sunday. I don't know how
big their membership is. They're pretty good size.
Yeah. Good plug.
Yep.
Good church family, which is nice for them. I'm happy for them.
And our oldest son, Jesse, he grew up, I don't know if you remember Brock, but like EBC, he started doing like the sound in the back.
Yeah.
So you've probably seen Jesse throughout the years, like, and he did it here, and now he's doing it at Vibrant Church with the sound and stuff like that, the video or whatever goes on in the back, you know.
Yeah, it seems like your family really has taken to being really involved in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that start?
It started, I would say, with us just having them go to youth group and continuously go to church. And I think my mom and my stepdad really made an influence, you know, impact on them.
Yeah,
too.
I mean, they're still serving.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, they're awesome.
Jared, I'll let Jared talk about it when you guys have him on, but he got involved with Disciple. Both the boys were involved with Disciple Makers at Penn State. They both went to Penn State and really grew then, which was nice because they didn't do the normal party scene at college. They did Disciple Makers.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you drop your kid off with 100,000 people there on Saturdays, you know, and you're like, you know, so it was a good base for them. They loved Disciple Makers. It was a good.
And I think they got hooked up with Disciple Makers because my mom and John sponsored, was it?
I don't remember.
Ricky and Shanae?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yep.
And I know we have Tony Beard is also with Disciple Makers too, but they're not at the same location, I don't think, right?
I don't believe.
Jared's in Lewisburg, so,
right.
Yeah.
Right, right.
But.
And, you know, I don't know, I'm going to go this direction, but.
Please just do it.
No, it's nothing crazy, but like she's talking about her mom, Pat, and her stepdad, John, right? And they were a really good foundation for us. Like, if there's any parents out there that have, like, for us, we had the hardest time when our kids were like, I want to say like 3 to 6 or 3 to 7 or 2 to 6 or 2. Like, because. Let's face it. When you first have the kid, like everybody's happy, right? you know where I'm going with this, right? Like grandparents are there, everybody's there. Oh, this is great. But then all of a sudden, everybody's gone, right? And it's year two, it's year three, and you don't have any time for yourself, right?
Yeah.
And we were like arguing with each other, right? We were on short, like nerves. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And our marriage, like. And the reason I'm even bringing this up, if there's anybody out there that's going through this, you know, just see it through. I mean, keep praying, see it through. If you have to ask help from a relative, I mean, ask help from a relative, you know, because Tracy's mom, I mean, she counseled us through this craziness.
Yeah.
And she would hold us accountable, right? I mean, she'd be like, listen, you guys can't argue like this. It's not good for the kids. You know, you need to. And this might be crazy to hear from, like, oh, you guys are Christians. But, like, it happens.
Oh, sure.
You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? It happens.
It's called life.
Amen.
Yeah. So, I mean, she kind of got us through the forest, if you will, you know, just saying, Tracy, you know, this is, you got to look at this way. And Bill, you know, so.
I think, too, like, when Jared was a baby, he was really, really sick.
Oh, yeah, he
I
was
had
sick
to
all
hold
the time.
Him. He didn't sleep in his crib till he was 7 months old. I had to hold him up to sleep at night.
Wow.
So I was taking care of him, getting him in the middle of the night. I had to get up and give him 2 different treatments every night.
Like the albuterol treatments?
And 2 different medicines. And then we would lay back down on the couch, and I was teaching. So
it was tough. Like
it was stressful. And Jesse, believe it or not, he is a wonderful young man right now, but when he was little, he was hard to handle. He yeah. was a piece of work. So,
so yeah, Jared, like, you could mark it on a calendar when he was going to get croup. Like, oh, it was wow. Christmas time, it was New Year's, and he was... You hear him coughing back there, and he sound like a coon dog, right? And we're like, here it goes, right?
His yeah. first word was moon.
And that's because the doctors told us, like, draw a real hot bath, right? This is what I did every January, like clockwork. Put him in the hot bath, and then it would loosen up his chest and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And the mucus and stuff like that. And then I'd immediately take him outside in January air, in the cold air, wrap him up. And we would sit out on the front porch. And, of course, there's a big old moon, January moon. So I'd always say, there's the moon. So that was his first word was moon because I'd always take him out there to get over croup. And, you know, yeah, and it was tough. And then Jesse, we lost him. And that was like a scene out of a movie, right? I was at work. You know, I
he
said I worked.
Five.
Was he?
Five.
I was working at Donnelly, which I said was by Central School, and we lived in East Berwick. And I get a call, or no, my boss says, hey, your kid, like, all he says is your kid's missing, right? And I was like, that's all the information I got. So I just had this little Subaru, right? And I, like, smoked the wheels off of my Subaru, you know, going all the way to East Berwick and stuff. And I think there was, like, smoke coming off the motor, you know? And I get there, and the ambulance is there, the police is there. I mean, the mayor of Berwick was there.
There were a lot of people like, looking for him.
When I went down my street, it was like a movie.
Oh, my God.
And so I get there, and Tracy's, like, just bawling, breaking down in tears. God. And the neighbor is, like, holding her, just comforting her. She says, Jesse's gone, right? Well, to make a long story short, we didn't know it, but he walked from there to my parents' house, which is not even near
seven
us.
Blocks.
Like, wow. It's... And I don't even know how he found my parents' house.
Because I usually took him for walks in the summer from our house to her house. But wow. And we were actually going there to go swimming. Yeah. So we were over at the school playing, and he left his ball there. So we got back home. I ran in the house quick, and when I came back out, he was gone. And he walked to go get his ball and then walked to Grammy's.
And we're asking Jared, who's still in his car seat, right? And it's like, where's Jesse? And he could hardly say any words, right? He's like, is he in the van? Yeah. Is he in this van? No. Like, oh, my God, he got taken in a van, right?
Oh,
so
no.
Everybody's running around. And
For 2 hours, we didn't know where he was. Here he was sitting on the pool deck waiting for me to get there so we could swim.
Of course, my parents weren't there. They were over at my house looking for him.
I was just going to ask, where were your parents?
Yeah.
And the police are like, it was summertime, so the police are like, you got to check all the neighborhood swimming pools. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In case the kids drown. Yeah. So me and my dad ran around, and we're checking all the neighborhood swimming pools. And finally, somebody sees Jesse at my parents' house and brings
a friend of mine went there. We were all going to have lunch, and she walked in. She goes, hey, where's your Grammy? I don't know. Where's your mom? I don't know. She goes, uh-oh.
So she brought him to our house, and then she seen the same scene I seen. Like, there were four-wheelers out in the bean field. And
oh,
like,
my word, man.
And I tell you what, like, and then what do? Yell at him when you know what
right.
I mean? Like, so the great thing to come out of it was just to know how the community rallied. Like,
yeah.
Everybody was there. You know what I mean? So
the one plant that makes valves, they shut down the plant so that people could come look for him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was. So I didn't mean to
That's
get this
amazing.
Far down the road. But
this is great. This is great.
But, like, if there's, like I said, any parents out there, you know, just stick with it, you know. Ask a parent, ask a relative, or get counseling, or whatever you have to do. Sometimes it's not easy going through those three. Like, for us, it was 3 to 6 or 3 to 7, whatever, until they get old enough.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, like I said, Jared was his croup every year. Like, he almost, you know, he almost died the one time he had croup so bad. So
yeah, we almost lost him. And then they tried the pneumococcal shot. Was like they were trying it out. So they gave it to him, and he got better.
Wow.
So yeah. So
it gets better.
Life is crazy.
But it also could be way worse, right?
yes, Brock. So yeah, it gets better. Yes.
And you know, that's kind of the whole point of why we wanted to do this, because it's like, how do we create a culture a community at our church and amongst each other that we can just be open about like how hard it can be at times.
Yeah.
Cause that's the reality is we kind of do a really good job of putting the wall up or just pretending there's no like wall there and just going about our business. And all the time, the whole time we're struggling and we're up against just having, you know, just being parents and finding that balance between being here at work and being serving at church and juggling the kids. And that's when you're not dealing with the really, really hard stuff, when you've got a really sick kid and you've got a kid that's maybe at grandparents' house, you know,
yeah.
But like, I worry because I think Owen is both of those. So
that's right.
He's going to be sick and lost at the same time. But it, you know, it's one of the things we can really take for granted the just being able to come alongside each other and just share how difficult things are. And we've been really trying to really kickstart getting just men involved with Catalyst and trying to just get guys there because it's multi-generational. You've got dads who have been through it, who have kids who are on their own now. They're out of college. They're starting their own careers. We've got dads who have that crazy, like, I'm going to include two to six range. Ellie like really made it. It's way too easy for us. Now we have Evelyn and Owen and it's nuts. And you're like, do we build a jungle gym downstairs? So maybe that they get all their energy out there and they don't like go, you know, three blocks down the road and, you know, pick through the bushes at the neighbor's house for something they might have seen. Like it's like, that's where we're at. But it's just so easy to feel like you're alone. It's really easy to feel like you can't get out of it. And it's just really easy for you to start to make an enemy out of your spouse and because you're both so tired.
Mm-hmm.
You're both so tired and you've been burning at both ends for so long. And it's been so encouraging. Just I know for so many others and some who I know will listen to this to know that one, it's not forever. And you're not alone. And one of the best ways is just to really talk about it with somebody and have somebody, like you guys said, keep you accountable.
Mm-hmm.
And not like that's not like having somebody who's a disciplinarian, like, oh, why did you do this or why did you do that? But just to say, hey, like you need to have time to debrief. You need to have time to be vulnerable and say, I feel like I'm failing as a dad this week, or we feel like we're failing as parents this week. And, you know, have those other people who have been through it to say, you know what, it's going to be okay, to encourage you and pray for you. You know, I think sometimes it's just so easy to let those blessings that God has around us so often to slip away or just not be visible to us because there's just so much going on.
Yeah. But
thank you. Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that. Cause it's just,
yeah.
It's really easy, you know, it's just so easy to get lost in the midst of all that's mm-hmm. going on. You know, even this weekend, we're like, well, we didn't clean the house again because we did this, and this.
Yeah. 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 Yep. My advice would be let it go.
Yeah.
You have dirty laundry and you don't have time to do it or put it away when it's clean, just let it go till you get time. And. Yeah.
That's one thing I love about this church is it's communal. You know what I mean? Like what you, Brock and Mike's doing, like you guys have them family fun nights, right? Yeah. You guys jumped right in there at VBS. You know, of course, Jen and Kim Sullivan, like obviously can't name everybody, but there's so many great people here that volunteer their time and do their time. And it's great to have a church like that, a church family like that. And like you said, if you need somebody, somebody's here, like somebody will talk
absolutely.
To you. Like. Yeah. Me and Tracy will talk to anybody out there that wants to talk. They could come find us if they want to talk about any problems they're having, especially, you know, like I said, about raising young kids and having trouble and having them being sick and, you know, going through some marital issues and stuff. And because, like I said, if it wasn't for Pat, I mean, and just having her by our side, we could have ended up divorced. You know what I mean? I mean, I hate to say that, but things happen. You know, people go through stuff. And so, yeah, we'd be willing to talk to anybody if anybody needs.
Definitely.
Anything.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was those past Sunday we're driving down to church and this song by Cody Carnes comes on. We already are like, we're tired and we're getting in there in the car. And the first few lines of the song is, sometimes marriages don't work out and sometimes babies die. And we're like, what? this is not the pep song we need for Sunday morning right now.
It had to have been a country song, right?
It actually does have a kind of a country like vibe. The point that Cody Carnes makes throughout the song is like, but all you've been is kind, and so easy for us to just throw our arms up and blame God for our circumstances or just blame each other for our circumstances. But when we look past the circumstances, which is so hard to do, and I'm saying this to myself as much as anybody, it's like, it's so hard to get outside of that immediate like setting, that immediate environment. But once we can get outside of that and have those people to help remind us what's important and also remind us like, hey, it doesn't matter that you didn't get the laundry done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though you did it like four loads like yesterday and you still have 10 more to go, like to remind you that God is faithful and that he's put people around us. And sometimes we don't even know it. And sometimes we do and we avoid it. And you know, I think it's one of the blocks that we kind of like, oh man, how could we be a part of community when our house is a mess? Like, but the truth is we've got people in so many different stages of their lives that you don't have to worry about, you know, having a place for people to come and join at. It's what the church is supposed to be. You know, we're supposed to be able to fit into that picture of what God wants us to be a part of. And, you know, don't let those small things get in the way of you getting connected in your community, because, you know, it's one of the things that we really found out quickly when we started to isolate each other and quarantine and all that kind of stuff is it really created some really big problems for people, because the community aspect, the church body, the church as a whole, is that important? And Jesus did such a good job of just showing how that can be done, and just taking that small group of guys and being real with them, and they can be real with him, and just how